All right, well, good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. It's very good to see you all here today, worshiping with us, man, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, we have already had one service. We had a Saturday night service last night. It was amazing. And we have two more today. And so I'm just so glad that you chose to worship with us, to celebrate with us today. We've been in a series, for the first time, we've been in a series called Breaking Point. We've been kind of journeying through the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 all the way through 50. And we're kind of nearing the end of that journey. And it's been, man, an epic journey of ups and downs and just watching God work and move. There's been betrayal. There's been hurt. There's been deception. But ultimately, the story of Joseph is a story of reconciliation and redemption, and about how God can use our breaking points in our lives to bring breakthrough in our lives to lead us to what he has for us. Last week, if you were here, we talked about a reoccurring theme of dreams, how in Joseph's story, these dreams show up again and again and again throughout his journey, and each one is kind of just, it's very pivotal to what's happening and taking place. And but really what we realize is that those dreams, they weren't just personal dreams. They weren't just about Joseph and his family. They carried with them prophetic and cosmic meaning, all leading to the glory of Jesus Christ. Today, man, we come and we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And as we do that, what I want to do is I want to highlight another powerful theme within Joseph's story. It's this reoccurring theme that shows up at these very, very pivotal moments in Joseph's life and how they are connected to Jesus's life. And how they are connected to even more pivotal moments in Jesus' life as well, in his death and resurrection. And that theme that we're going to look at today is a theme of robes and how they connect. And so, you know, the truth of the matter is, we talked about dreams and how they kind of set things in motion, but really, in Joseph's life, what really caused things to really get set off and his brothers to hate him and the jealousy that was taking place was a robe that his father gave him. It was a robe of many colors. I want to read to you from Genesis 37. This is where it all started. Genesis 37, verse 3 and 4 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him." It's interesting that just a simple garment would lead to jealousy, hatred, right? Feeling threatened, favoritism, and that ultimately would lead to betrayal, heartache, loss, and of course, many different breaking points in Joseph's life. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about how oftentimes we are perceived by what we wear or how we carry ourselves. And so I wanted to do something a little bit fun as we enter into this story. How many of you guys are fans of Harry Potter? Harry Potter fans? Let me see, raise your hands. The rest of you are like, no, I'm a Christian and I want to go to heaven. And so I don't follow that stuff. Anyway, all right, that's fine. Teach his own. So we're gonna have a little bit of fun, because if you know the stories, either you read the books or you watch the movies, one of the big things is that the kids they go to Hogwarts and then they are sorted into houses. How many houses are there? Four houses. Okay, so what we're gonna do is I'm gonna put up the robes, because they would get house robes. And as the house robes come up, if you know what house that is, call out the name of the house. Sound good? All right, here we go. Let's see what the first one is. You can say it with pride. It's okay. There's no judgment here. Slytherin. Okay, next one. Someone's whispering. Ravenclaw. And so again, Ravenclaw. Okay, next one. Yeah, the Gryffindor people are like, Gryffindor. And then last but definitely not least, all my Hufflepuffs are always so excited and happy. And like, it's amazing. And so, you know, like, We know by the colors, we know by the symbol, you know what these kids were sorted into, the houses that were sorted into, but also within the books, as you're sorted into those houses, there's also characteristics that come along with it. How many of you have taken the test to see which house that you were put in? Come on, people, I did it. Yeah, don't be ashamed of it. Okay, Second question, where are my fellow Slytherins at? Let's go. Oh, that's right, your pastor's a Slytherin. Let that just kind of toss around in your mind a little bit. And so, you know, in each of these houses, so like Gryffindor, they're brave, they're loyal, they're courageous. The Hufflepuffs, they're hardworking and patient. The Ravenclaw are intelligent and wise. Slytherin, they're ambitious, they're cunning, they're resourceful. And in each house and each robe, it carries something with it. And so you can often tell something about someone just by what they're wearing. And sometimes we dress to express who we are. Sometimes we dress to impress others. Sometimes we dress to fit in with people that we admire, that we want to be friends with. Like we want to be like them, and we often tend to take on the characteristics and the mannerisms and even the wardrobe that people we want to be friends with. And oftentimes, there are sometimes when we dress just so we're not associated with another type of people. And so our clothes often become a reflection of our identity, either how we see ourselves or how others see us. And this could be an identity that we are striving for, or it could be an identity that someone else has put on us that we're wearing begrudgingly. You see, our external garments often become linked to our identity, and this was true of Joseph's story. And so what I want to do is I want to walk you through his story real quick and look at three different robes that take place in three different moments of his life and how in each one there were different forms of identity that were being placed on him. So let's look at the first robe. I'm calling this the favored robe. I already mentioned it. This is the robe that Joseph's father gives him and sets him apart, right? And then as you look through the rest of the scripture, the robe shows up again because as the brothers are mad, Joseph goes, and if you've been tracking with us, the first thing that they do is they attack him and do what? They rip the robe off of him. And they take that robe and they don't want him to have it anymore. And it says that right there in verse 23, they hated him for it. And then after they put him in a pit and they sold him into slavery, they had to come up with a plan to let their father know that his favorite son was dead. And so they take that robe and they dip it in blood and they send it to the father. And they say, is this your son's robe? We're not sure. Is it your son's? And it's this lie. And so this robe was given to Joseph by his father. Again, a symbol of favoritism, a symbol of sonship, a symbol of Joseph being set apart. But his brothers saw it differently. They saw him as a threat. They saw it as him being arrogant or prideful, and it ultimately led to jealousy. And so that robe that was given to him led to this deep resentment, and they stripped him of it, dipped it in blood, and used it to lie to the father. The favored robe. The very next robe shows up is the slave garment. So what ends up taking place is they put him in a pit, they sell him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt and he becomes an Egyptian slave. And as an Egyptian slave, he is given new garments. Now, these garments would be very plain. Much different than the robe of many colors or the favored robe. It would be plain, it would be common, it would be unremarkable. This robe would most likely display Joseph as someone's property. You'd see him wearing it, and you would understand that he belongs to somebody else. And so for Joseph in this season, the slave garment for his master saw him as a tool to be used. And then if you know the story, if you've been tracking along with us, his master's wife saw him as an object for her desire. And what takes place in the story that's up on the screen is, you know, the master's wife begins to try to get him to sleep with her, and he keeps refuting that and saying, no, I don't want to. And so in the story, she grabs what? Grabs him by the garment, grabs his robe and says, sleep with me. But what did he leave behind? Man, he leaves behind another garment, and he escaped, and he ran outside. And so she took the garment that Joseph left, the robe that symbolized who he was. She set it by her side and waited for her husband to come home and began to share this story about what took place. It was all a lie. And she falsely accused him and said, he left his garment with me and ran outside. And what this was is she used this robe against him to falsely accuse him and ultimately send him to prison, or even maybe she hoped that she would send him to his death. So you have these two robes. The favored robe didn't end up well. Gave him an identity, but didn't go well. Then there's the servant robe, and same thing. That robe is stripped from him. And then we get to the final robe. I'm calling this the royal robe. This is where all things come to a head, because there's this dream that he has that, I mean, he'll be above his brothers, and they'll be bowing down, and there'll be food involved. And so he's brought to Pharaoh, because he can interpret dreams. He interprets some dreams for some of Pharaoh's workers in prison, and the cupbearer remembers and tells the Pharaoh when he has a dream that no one can interpret, and Joseph comes, and what does he do? He interprets the dreams, gives them a plan. And because of what Joseph did and the wisdom that he showcased and that he had divine solutions from God, this is what Pharaoh says about him, Genesis 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and then clothed him in fine linen garments. And so at this moment, he's given new robes. And these ones were even nicer than the first robes. These ones signified authority. These ones signified wisdom. These ones, this was huge. This is what he waited for. They were powerful. And so in one divine moment, everything changed, and Joseph is given new clothes. And so Joseph's robes, they tell a story of how others tried to define him. Father saw him as the favorite. His brothers saw him as a threat. His master saw him as a tool. His master's wife saw him as an object. Pharaoh saw him as the solution, this divine solution to the problems that he would be facing. But here's the key to all of it. None of those garments determined who Joseph truly was. Why? Because it's not people who define us or circumstances who define us, but it's God. And the same is true in our life. Our identity is not determined by people, nor is it determined by the things that we go through. Our identity is determined by what God says and who God says that we are and what we'll be. And that's what we have to hold on to. And all throughout his journey, that's what Joseph held on to. And in each breaking point, what it did is it stripped away these false identities that other people tried to place on him, right? These robes, and it brought Joseph one step closer to God's identity as God robed him in righteousness. And it's this powerful, powerful story of redemption. And I go back to thinking about that first robe. And I wonder if throughout his life, Joseph missed it. But you know what? Joseph never asked for his robe before, again. He never said, "I wish I could have my father's robe back." And this is so important for us. He didn't need his old robe, right? Because he never wanted to go back to who he was before. He just pressed on to who God called him to be, who God showed him he would be. And that was so much better than anything anyone else would ever give him or offer him or identify him as. So it's this powerful journey from one robe to the next to the next to ultimately being robed in righteousness. And there's this other really powerful moment, kind of utilizing the same symbolism of clothes or garments or being given new clothes and how that begins a new chapter and a new season. And it's this moment at the very end of the story where Joseph is reconciled with his brothers. He's reunited with his brothers. And it's this really, really cool story that takes place. And there's this forgiveness that takes place and redemption that takes place. And there's weeping and embracing and all is forgiven. And in Genesis 45, 22, after forgiving each of his brothers, here's what it says. He gave each of his brothers changes of clothes. And you look at the symbolism and you go, man, this is so powerful. Because think about it. The very men who once stripped him of his robe in hatred and jealousy are now being clothed by him in love and forgiveness. I go, that's grace, right? That's the Father's forgiveness for us. That's redemption. That's reconciliation. And then you see this this divine connection, right? Because we now know about Jesus. So we see this divine connection to the cross and what God offered to us on the cross, forgiveness and grace, redemption, reconciliation. So check this out. Just like Joseph, we enter into Jesus' life. And he wore a series of robes that told a greater story of redemption and reconciliation. Three different garments as Jesus approached the cross, his breaking point. The first robe of Jesus, I'm calling it the robe of mockery. And so Jesus is betrayed and he's arrested and he's brought to the governor of Rome at the time. And here's what takes place in Matthew 27. Verse 27, it says, "Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. They knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said, and they spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they then took the robe off, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him." I mean, you see the connection. It's like, oh, here's this, they're going to give him a favored robe, right? This scarlet robe is a symbol of royalty, of a king. And they give it to him, and in the midst of giving it to him, they mock him, and they sarcastically call him the King of the Jews. And just as soon as they gave it to him, it was stripped away from him. And then they lead him off to his death. And you begin to connect that to what took place with Joseph, where he was given a favored robe. It was stripped from him, and then his brothers led him to his death and said he was dead. So Jesus experienced this robe of mockery. The second robe that Jesus wore is a robe of shame and suffering as he went to the cross. And so they put his clothes back on him. They had him carry his own cross all the way up to Golgotha. And it goes on to say in John 19, 23, when the soldiers crucified him, then they took his clothes. They removed his clothes from him, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them. And they even took his undergarment. And this undergarment was a tunic that was seamlessly woven. And they divided that amongst themselves. And so Jesus was stripped of all of his clothes, and he hung essentially naked. Did you know that the Roman crucifixion was probably the worst form of public shaming death? You hang there, right, with all your sins and your past and your shame and your regret to bear, but you lay there fully bare as well. So Jesus hung naked and ashamed and full of shame. And he's falsely accused and sentenced to a sinner's death. And I go back to Joseph's story, where Potiphar's wife removed his robe, pulled his robe off of him, and falsely accused him. Some theologians believe that as that garment was removed from Joseph, he ran out of that house naked as well. There's shame and suffering for him as he's falsely accused and sent to prison. A robe of shame and suffering. But we know how the story ends, don't we? Because the final robe is the robe of resurrection. And this is powerful, because so Jesus dies, right? He's hanging on the cross. He prays. He says it is finished. He breathes his last breath. They bring him down. And then it says in John 19, 40 that they took Jesus' body and they wrapped it. They wrapped it in burial clothes, linen burial clothes. And so he is wrapped in new garments, a new robe, a robe that is signifying what? Death, sin, shame. And then 3 days go by, and there's news that's reported that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. And people are like, "What do you mean it's rolled away? What did they do with Jesus' body?" And so in Luke 24, it says, "Very early in the morning, they came to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. 'Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's been resurrected.'" And so these ladies, they go and they tell the disciples, and some of them don't believe, but Peter runs. It says this in verse 12, he got up and he ran to the tomb, and when he stooped down to look in, what does he see laying there? The linen cloth, the burial robes that Jesus was wrapped in. Right? And here's the reality. On resurrection morning, all they found were burial clothes symbolizing sin, shame, and death. Jesus didn't walk out wearing the robes of sin and death. He walked out wearing the robes of salvation and righteousness, of resurrection. And it's so powerful. And guess what? Because he did that, he then offers us these robes of salvation, these robes of righteousness. Because in Isaiah 61, it says that he will clothe us with garments of salvation and he will wrap us in his robes of righteousness. And it's powerful to be clothed in his righteousness. You know, many of us throughout our lives, we've worn some robes, some identities that we're never meant to keep. And sometimes the robes we wear, they're our choice. Sometimes they're forced upon us by others. Many times they are stained by sin, by shame, by regret, by trauma, by addiction, by abuse. They're not meant to be worn by us. And so what ends up taking place is throughout our lives, we end up wearing a robe that ends up looking something like this. It's tattered, it's broken, it's dirty. And so throughout our lives, a robe is placed on us in various seasons, in various ways, through various people, through various circumstances. And all throughout it, the things that take place to us begin to identify us and say something about us. And oftentimes we try to hold it in as much as we can, but what it ends up doing and representing is bitterness, regret, shame. Tells a story of the things that were done to us by others. It tells a story of the things that we have done to others, even to ourselves. And it's heavy and it's stained, and we've worn it so long that it's become our identity. And we begin to believe the lies that this is who we are and we'll never change and we can never be free from it. But today, Jesus invites us to trade these robes in. Because here's the reality. There's two sets of robes. There are the robes of sin and death that we all can get caught wearing or get stuck wearing in our lives. And then there are the robes of salvation and righteousness. And just as God replaced Joseph's robes, Jesus came to remove your robe of sin and death and give you a robe of salvation and righteousness. He wants you to be clothed in what he has to offer. And what he has to offer, it is new. It is clean. It is white. You know, the Bible says that he takes our sins. He takes that scarlet and he washes them, what? As white as snow. And he clothes us in his righteousness, a garment of salvation, a garment that symbolizes what? Love, grace, compassion, forgiveness, and mercy. But here's the problem. You see, Jesus wants us to put this robe on and remove this one. But too many times what we do is we take the robe of salvation and righteousness and we just try to throw it over our robe of sin and death and shame and regret. We try to cover it, we try to mask it, but we don't let go of what this says about us. We try to cover it up. But here's the reality. You can't put robes of righteousness over robes of resentment. You can't put robes of repentance over unconfessed sin. You can't put robes of salvation over condemnation, robes of forgiveness over bitterness. Jesus doesn't want to just cover up your robes. He wants to remove them. He wants to give you a new life, a new slate. He wants you to be free from anything that has happened to you, from anything that you have done. And so essentially what he wants you to do is he wants you to take this robe off and be done with it. Because you can't wear a robe of salvation over your robe of sin and death. If you want a new life, if you want a new robe, then that means you got to leave this one buried in the tomb where it belongs, like Jesus did. And when you do that, that's when you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin, my shame, my regret, my pain, my hurt, my heartache, and taking that on the cross and burying it in the grave and giving me a new life and a new identity. This is what he offers us. For too long, we've attempted to clothe ourselves, to fix ourselves, to change ourselves. We've allowed other people to identify us. We've allowed other people to determine who we are, who we would become. But at the end of the day, the Bible says that we are called to be clothed in Christ. Galatians 3 says, all who have been baptized in Christ are called to put on Christ-like clothing. Romans 13, 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus as if he were your clothing. I need you to hear this. Jesus doesn't just forgive you, he clothes you. Jesus doesn't just save you, he gives you a new identity. And the reality of it is just as he has forgiven you, he calls you to forgive others. See, the problem with putting his robe over your old robe is you'll hold on to bitterness, you'll hold on to hate. You may be forgiven, but you've held on to bitterness in your heart. You see, I go back to Joseph's story. And I go, man, it'd be really easy for him to hold on to bitterness to what his brothers did. But not just his brothers, to what his master did, to what his master's wife did, to how he was forgotten. And he was put into a place where he could have easily said, hey, before I do all this other stuff, I need you to find some people and take care of them. But instead, what did he do? His brothers show up, his family shows up, and just like everybody else, they're needing food, they're starving, they're in need. He recognizes who they are, and he offers them grace, mercy, love, and forgives them. And just as he was given new robes, he then offers them new robes, showcasing this forgiveness and grace and reconciliation. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And what's he say as he's hanging there? Father, forgive them. Forgive them for what they're doing. You know, in one sense, we could look at that and go, Jesus is just talking about the people that are there, that are putting him on the cross. But at the end of the day, it is our sin, my sin, your sin, that nailed Jesus to the cross, that put the crown of thorns on his head, that drove the spear into his side. And so he says, Father, forgive them for nailing me here, for crucifying. Father, forgive them. And once I am risen, Father, give them new clothes. I think some of us are still in a prison, not because of what was done to us, but more so because of our unwillingness to forgive what was done. And we're holding on to it, thinking it's hurting somebody else, but at the end of the day, all it is doing is hurting you. And I think you need to remember the forgiveness that was shown to you on the cross. And you need to give that to others. Because you can't hold bitterness in your heart and try to walk your life in freedom. You can't walk in the power of resurrection and drag around a robe of sin. You have to put his robe on and leave this one in the tomb. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes. And today I'll ask you, what robe are you wearing? Are you still carrying around the things of the past, the shame, the regret, the things done to you, the things done by you? Are you still allowing circumstances to determine who you are, forgetting who God called you to be? Today, I wonder, are you clinging to that person that hurt you and not willing to let go? Are you still holding on to guilt and shame? Are you still trapped in the identity that someone else tried to put on you? Jesus died so that you could be free from that, not walk in it. And his robes aren't meant to cover yours. And I think sometimes what we do is we take off our robe of sin and death and we put Jesus's on, but something happens and then we just try to put a new robe of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of hurt, of fear, of whatever over top of Jesus. And maybe for you today, it's time to really remove it. Stop holding on to the past. Let go. Forgive. Move on. That thing you're holding on to is holding you back from what Jesus has for you. Today, if you've never fully surrendered, and you would say today you've walked in wearing a robe that is stained with regret and shame and hurt and failure and mistakes, and you're ready to take it off and bury it in the tomb and put on a new robe of righteousness, then today recognize who Jesus is. He is the Lord and Savior of your life. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again 3 days later, and he walked out of the tomb and left your sins there. That's where they belong. Recognize that. Believe that. Repent of your sins and walk out of that tomb with him, clothed and robed in righteousness. God, today I pray that you would stir and move. God, I pray for healing. I pray for things in the past to be let go. I pray for the burden and the weight of hurt to be left in the tomb where it belongs. God, we thank you and praise you for the story of redemption and reconciliation through your son, Jesus. We did not deserve it, but you gave it anyway. I pray today that no matter where we find ourselves, no matter the circumstance, no matter the blessing or the breaking point, we would remember who you are and what you did and walk clothed in your righteousness and your salvation. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.